group of girls that would do this.
Yeah.
And it's the same way they go down and look for the prostitutes on Chippewa.
Yeah.
Because they do oddball things where they would there can't get it from their wife. So.
Sure. Was there a lot of prostitution connected to the gay bars?
There was only a few that were, you know.
Mm-hmm. Which bars do you remember were, well, okay, one of the people we interviewed told us that the Mardi Gras had a lot of prostitutes that were hanging around there, or even gay women who were prostituting.
Oh, yeah, that's, as I say, it's, there was even some that were married that used to come in there, and this is where you come into your bisexual bit.
Uh-huh.
Where they would go with either one, whatever satisfied them or whatever their thing was for the night, this is what they would go for.
Did you ever know anyone, any women, who paid other women for sex?
I've heard, but I've never really seen any money exchange. It's just, you know, people would say this, or I had this one, you know, this one gave me so much, or whatever, you know, as far as conversation, but I really could never say definitely they did or they didn't.
But there was always rumor that that happened.
There was rumors.
Uh-huh.
That's just hearsay.
But mostly it was guys that paid.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Whether they paid other guys or women.
Yeah.
What about the gay men that hung out at the bars? Were there good relationships between the men and the women?
Some yes, some no. I mean, now some of the girls didn't like the real swishy ones, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's even myself. I can't stand a real swishy one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I myself have even taken, and we've gone in different bars, even straight bars, and we've gone in as friends. He's a man, I'm a woman, so what's, you know. They couldn't get any connection, you know,
yeah.
Other people. Yeah. And we would sit and drink and, you know, shoot pool or whatever. And then we leave. We end up back at a gay bar. He go his way, I go my way.
Uh-huh.
Just to break the monotony.
We heard a little bit, mostly rumor, about gay men and gay women getting married as a cover. Did you ever know of that?
Oh,
anything
yeah. Oh, definitely. That's happened many a times.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it's been going on for years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So do you think it happened a lot?
Oh, yeah.
And it was a matter of convenience?
It's a convenience of marriage, that's all. In other words,
they live together?
Oh, yeah. They would live together. In fact, they would even have a child or something. And, he'd bring his boys in, you know, and she'd do the same. But it was a marriage of convenience,
yeah.
You know, for
And you're talking about the 40s and 50s that this would happen. Do you think it happens that much now?
Oh, it probably has now, but I haven't been around to see anything.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it still goes on. I've still seen people that have been married for years and they're still gay, but they still got kids floating around the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they still want what they want when they want it.
Well, I think that we've probably covered most of the topics that I had outlined. There was one thing I wanted to ask you, and usually I ask this at the beginning of an interview, but let's see if asking it at the end makes a difference, and that is if there was a special thing, knowing that we're going to write a history of the community here as far back as we can go in it. Is there any, like, one most important thing that you would want people who read that book to know about that you can think of, that we shouldn't forget to tell the world?
I really have to think on that one.
Sure, go ahead. Want me to turn the tape recorder off while you're thinking?
Yes.
We won't be pressured.
If I wasn't gay to start with, or if I had acquired it later in life, I don't think very truthfully I don't think I'd get married or have children, but I would never have indulged in it as much if I have. Because I say, it's too lonely a life. You have very few friends that really would understand the whole thing about it. And I say, if I could ever live to see the population of the world accept it, well, I'll never live to see it.
But that would be a real,
but if
a great thing.
Anybody that has any inclinations of being not a lesbian,
it would warm people. It's too hard.
It's too rough of a life. Too rough of a life.
And yet there's so many of us, and we keep coming out, and we keep surviving. There must be something.
I've survived 53 years.
Yeah.
But if I had known what I know today, say when I was 22, maybe I could have changed. Maybe I wouldn't have. I mean, it's...
I wonder.
All I can say is.
What do you think it is that attracts women to lesbianism? You think it's just inborn?
Well, see, that's the way it was explained to me. Medically, everyone, male, female, cats, dogs, whatever you want to call anybody, have both male and female hormones in them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on some people, one will overrule the other. That's why a lot of people take hormone shots to balance. This is why a lot of doctors say you can be cured.
I see.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
But, I mean, I can't say it's all been bad. I really can't. I mean, there's times that I have enjoyed myself. Not as far as... See, a lot of people think with homosexuality and that, it's strictly an all-sex thing. And it's not, because life is not made on sex. There's more to it. There's a down-to-earth thing of getting along, having... everyone does not have the same ideas. And it's the same as a man and a woman when they get married. It's a mutual understanding. Everyone voices their opinions. You sort of have to, you know, half and half.
Mm-hmm.
Not as far as money-wise or anything. It's just the understanding of each other. Now, if you didn't have sex for a month straight, you can truthfully say, I wake up in the morning saying, hey, I love you, honey. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, sex don't mean that much to me.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't. It's the wanting and the being wanted that counts.
Do you think that most of the lesbians you've known feel that way? That it's
no. A lot of them just want, go to bed, that's it for the night, goodbye.
Uh-huh.
But myself, I look at it differently.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Then you can read that statement into the recorder, because that's all we need, so you don't have to sign anything. Because it's silly if you're using a pseudonym to sign a pseudonym.
Oh, you mean I hereby give?
Yeah.
Okay. I hereby give to the Buffalo Women's Oral History Project the tape recorded on January 6, 1980. For such educational and, I can't read too good because I'm blind in one eye here to start.
Okay,
with.
Let me get the...
Educational
and scholarly uses.
And purposes as the directors Elizabeth Kennedy, Madeline Davis, and Michelson, shall determine. I further...
Consent
to the transcription and the publication of all other, all or all of this interview as
educational
and scholarly work required. I have been assured that my DJ,
pseudonym
DJ, will
be employed,
in my use of these tapes. I understand that at the same future date, the tapes will be housed in the archives chosen by the director of the Buffalo Women's Oral History Project and will be available for public access, governed by the rules of the archives. I give consent that these tapes be made available for research purposes immediately.
Terrific.
Okay.
Wonderful.